Best of Times Radio Hour, live on 101.7 FM and 710 Kiel, a show dedicated to seniors and boomers in Northwest Louisiana. Here's your host, Gary Kaligas.
Good morning, radio listeners. I'm Gary Kaligas, the publisher of The Best of Times, the only magazine and radio show for mature adults in Northwest Louisiana. I do thank you for tuning into our show today, and also thank those who might be listening via the internet at www.710kiel.com. Also thanking those who might be listening via the Kiel application on their Apple or Android devices. We also thank those who might be listening via the podcast of our podcast radio shows on the bestoftimesnews.com website or Apple Podcasts. We thank AARP Louisiana and A-Bears Town and Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer, for being the exclusive sponsors of this radio show to provide you with beneficial information each and every Saturday morning. In just a few minutes, we're going to learn how senior co-housing can enhance emotional and physical well-being of seniors and boomers. So stay to the show for some beneficial information for you and your loved ones. It is Saturday, April the 5th, and we are broadcasting our show from the studios of News Radio 710 Kiel, a Town Square media station here in wonderful Shreveport, Louisiana. However, today's show has been pre-recorded, so we will be unable to accept call-in questions and comments from our loyal radio listeners. Be sure to pick up the March-April issue of The Best of Times at one of our 270 distribution locations. We do thank you for the many compliments about our magazine. We do appreciate hearing from you. Remember, if you're unable to find a printed copy, you can always visit our website at thebestoftimesnews.com to view both current and past issues of our magazine. In addition, you can visit our website to listen to previously broadcast radio shows, and you can download and view the 2025 Silver Pages Senior Resource Directory. There are available copies at some of our locations throughout Northwest Louisiana, but again, if you can't find a printed copy, you can always go to our website. You can view it. You can print it from our website as well as from our app. Each and every month, The Best of Times sends out a TBT newsletter blast over 73,000 email addresses of seniors and boomers throughout Northwest Louisiana. It provides them with links to read our current issue online, as well as to read our current Silver Pages. In addition, there are additional articles that are not found in our magazine, discount coupons, a contest, and, of course, news about upcoming events that you can participate in. Join the many thousands who are receiving this free newsletter each and every month by visiting our website at thebestoftimesnews.com to subscribe free of charge just by giving us your email address. Great news, Ernest Orleans has brought back the Best of Times special dinner each and every Thursday from 4:30 p.m. to closing with fabulous meals at a highly discounted price. It is highly recommended due to the popularity of the Best of Times Thursday night special to make reservations by calling 318-226-1325. Again, 318-226-1325. We'll be right back with more information, but now a word from our sponsors and advertisers who do make this radio show possible. You're listening to the Best of Times Radio Hour here on News Radio 710 Kiel, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and A-Bears Town and Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer.
The Best of Times Radio Hour will be right back on 101.7 FM 10 Key.
It's muffled a little bit.
Back to the Best of Times Radio Hour on 101.7 FM at 710 Key.
Welcome back to our show, The Best of Times Radio Hour, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and A-Bears Town and Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer. I'm Gary Kaligas, and I do thank you for taking time to listen to our radio show. Joining me on my show today as a special guest is Mr. Jeff Salter, who is the CEO of Caring Senior Service. I've asked him to come on our show to discuss an interesting topic about senior co-housing that can enhance the emotional and physical well-being of older adults. So thank you, Jeff, for joining us on our radio show today.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. I'm really looking forward to discussing all that's happening with seniors, definitely.
Oh, definitely. I know that you're involved in it with all your operations and your franchise locations throughout the United States. They're dealing with seniors and boomers, correct?
Yes, absolutely. Helping families. families deal with the challenges that come with aging and trying to keep people aging in place or the place that they want to be.
Yes. I just noticed that you told us that nearly 30% of older adults suffer from some form of depression or isolation. Wow. That's a lot of people. That's almost one out of three.
Yeah, it's a ongoing problem. It's only getting worse, especially as we have more people aging, getting to that point to where they're at that 80 plus age and they're no longer close to their family members. And then there's a limited amount of caregivers.
Yes, there are a limited number. I feel for you trying to find being involved in that. In the 90s, we had a difficult time. I had 400 and something caregivers that took an operation. And it was always a continuing battle of my recruiting staff of finding caregivers, keeping them motivated. And, of course, people move, change careers, change paths, et cetera. So I definitely feel for you in all your locations. So,
yeah,
so,
you know, I definitely appreciate the fact that you have some experience with it because it is an ongoing, even the challenge we had in the 90s that continue to be the same challenges in a lot of ways today, but it's actually just more compounded and it's even fewer caregivers than there were then.
So explain to our listeners what is meant by senior co-housing.
Well, what co-housing is really when you take some more than one senior and you have them in the same either building or house, and you're really kind of putting people together. It's not like a college dorm necessarily, but if you think about it in the sense of it just makes sense to put people, more than one person in a environment so that they have just a shared space, you know, the common spaces that we would normally use, and you're getting them out of too often we have a senior that lives at home alone, and they have, they have the living room, the kitchen, the TV, the bedroom, bathroom, and have to upkeep all of those things. When you talk about co-housing, you're taking one or more or two or more seniors and putting them under the same roof. It's just an easier way to try and manage the entire process. Tons of gains that come from that.
So is it becoming more and more popular in the United States, this co-housing or multi-generational housing, which means it's over the generation? It's more common?
Yeah, it is. What we're starting to see is that more folks are looking for how do I deal with this challenge. I can't maybe move in the co-housing aspect. I can't move mom in with me. I don't want to put her into a assisted living home where there's a bunch of different people and she's got to make her way to the food hall and all of those things. And really trying to think, how can I solve this problem? And, the co-housing allows for you to get a smaller group of people. Oftentimes you can match personalities in unique ways, and it really just has a lot of benefits.
So explain to our listeners, this is also the parent or grandparent or whoever moving in with a child or a relative or someone, right? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, that's what we more refer to the multi-generational. That's where you're blending different age groups together. You've got children, adults, and seniors all sometimes under the same setting. And that's a traditional grandma comes back to live with the family is what we see then. And we are seeing that's happening more and more as people look at options. The idea of maybe even it's not always directly in the same roof. Maybe you have a granny flat in the back of your property, if you will, even in smaller, more urban environments, we're able to see some of that type of housing being built. There's the trend of micro housing has allowed for some unique concepts to be thought of.
And also, they're having a purpose for life again. Some of them, then they're isolated, they're home alone, the kids or grandkids don't visit them as often as they want to. And as you mentioned, isolation, they become depressed. So that's the major factor of them coming in with the family, right?
Yeah, things change dramatically when you change from a situation to where I'm going to visit a house. And if you've got that multi-generational situation, I'm kind of in a certain mode in which I'm trying to make that visit impactful and ensure that certain things occur during that visit to grandma's. But when grandma's living with you, and we just it's so sad in America we've gotten away from it, where families are so dispersed now. And now if you take that and you say, let's try and co-house this multi-generational group of people in a really closer environment, give them their space that they need, but then dramatic things happen. Sharing of stories changes because there's more time available in those meetings and they're not so scripted. And they can really take more of a natural feel that you just don't experience on that. It's hard to even put into words until you've actually experienced it.
Well, the other thing I want to mention to you, many years ago, and I think it's probably exponentially, European countries, but mainly Asia countries, Japan and China have been doing this multi-generational and co-housing of seniors with their children and spouses for many, many years, right?
Yeah, I think part of it is it's a little bit of like, in everything in life, there's cycles. And what's old is new again. What you experience in some of those other countries, Japan's a little different than China for the reasons why it's happening. Typically in China, what you have is a situation, it's typically due to the middle class growth. China didn't have a huge middle class growth. They have either the individuals that are less wealthy, and then you've got the wealthy individuals. And so for those families who can't afford any other options, it obviously makes sense to have everyone under a single roof from just an economic standpoint. When you look at places like Japan, it's the reasons are actually more due to the population decline that they're experiencing. They've got so many seniors, not enough younger people to take care of them. They kind of have no other options. So they've been adopting this concept for a while because their policyholders and their individuals involved with how do we care for the aging population have recognized that shortage, and they've been actively pursuing other ways to do it. And it's convincing people that this is a better way of living, a better way of caring for our seniors.
And of course, it's a lot of benefits for the senior and boomer that might be, residing with the individual. But individual and the kids and the grandkids. And I also know that, we enjoy helping our grandkids, or we don't live with them yet, but their homework and their projects. But, we only do it piecemeal. So, if you're there full time, you're going to be able to help them grandparents raising grandchildren easily if you're in that particular mode, correct?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's so many other benefits, especially in that multi-generational situation. There are so many benefits. And it's kind of, as I said, cyclical in the fact that in America, we went through a cycle in the 50s and 60s as those born and they became adults. Their goal was to move away from family and go strike out on their own. And that continued with the next generation. But now as we're getting to this generation, we're starting to see some change. Boomers that are now aging and needing care are starting to recognize that there was some aspects of their life that they might have missed out on. And we all know, we all have these stories of, we all have either friends, depending upon your situation. I'm one of the folks that did not have a lot of close ties. I mean, I love my grandmother. I love when I got to spend time with her, but it was a visit. I was there for a little bit of time and then she left. I have these amazing fond memories when she would actually come and stay for weeks with us. And it was so rich with so many things happening while they're there, but they're just the mundane, simple things that we cherish. But when you don't have that closeness, you don't get to experience those things. So it's bringing us back to that kind of ability to allow those things to happen and get used to the idea and the concept. And that's kind of what we're fighting against right now. So people are so used to the newer tradition of I leave the family, I go away, or my family goes away. This has also been compounded in America in that the ability for seniors to pack up and leave where they lived has been existing for the last 40 years, going to Florida to retire, going to Arizona, going to the warmer weather. That's what's driven a lot of that as well. So, just rethinking things and looking at it from a way that allows us to say, there's got to be a better way to solve this problem.
So in your experience, have you seen it to eliminate loneliness and isolation? The seniors your staff and others have dealt with, it does help?
Yeah, absolutely. What we're seeing in that is we're seeing that the social connections are definitely combating that loneliness, the fact that they have ongoing regular connection. You know, just the idea of things like shared rituals and meals, you know, creating that sense of belonging, you know, sitting down at a dinner table with people is a good thing. I mean, that's we all go through these moments in life where we want to be alone, but it's also really nice to be able to sit down at a dinner table with other family members, and to do that on a regular basis, it just really it gives us, each one of us gets infused with those endorphins and the positives that come from it. And there's just the overall encouragement that's there.
So if my listeners out there throughout the land think this is a great idea, is it difficult to ask the children or others to, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, do you have a place for me? Can you build a little separate outback, a casita for me, so I can be near you and near the family? I'm all alone, and that generally happens. It's generally not both the parents, right, that move in, that they're both of them.
Yeah, usually it's a surviving spouse situation that happens. It's a single parent or single grandmother, grandfather that's in the situation. And it's definitely a family decision. When it's the multi-generational situation, you definitely want to, you know, have a good conversation. It's important that they still have their space. So that's one of the problems. And we're really trying to encourage home builders and home modification companies to be thinking about this. Like, how do I make a section of the house that feels like independence is achieved, but then also connected enough to where they can be engaged with the rest of the occupants.
Oh, that's definitely true. So, but what happens if an individual, let's say a mother has several children, who does she ask first, and who does she, you know, and they may be scattered throughout the United States, and then one's going to be offended. Why don't you come live with me in Arizona or Ohio? Or I could see that a little bit of family disagreement there, maybe.
Yeah, there's definitely, you know, it's a discussion, it's a family decision, and family all has to be involved in it. And what we've seen a lot of times is that there's a kind of a roving grandparent of what happens. So she maybe lives in the South during the winter and goes back to the North during the summer, if that's possible. But that's pretty common when you've got multiple families that are, and it really just depends on the situation. Some families, it just depends on, if there's those multiple children involved, it's highly likely that one or more of them may not be in a situation, a life situation that allows for them to have mom or dad for an extended period of time. So a lot of these things happen naturally, but it's definitely a family discussion.
So, you know, definitely, I was going to say the family needs to come to meeting there. And the other options, as you know, they're going to tell mom or dad if they're alone, you know, why don't you consider moving an independent living facility, assisted living facility, et cetera. But as you mentioned, they have their ups and downs, and plus they're quite costly. And, you know, the parent or grandparent could say, you know, I could be giving you that money to be doing, you know, providing for my services there rather than an independent living facility or an assisted living. Isn't that true?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's there's a financial decision to be made here that has to be addressed and discussed. And that's often where you end up finding that families, the biggest fights happen. Because when mom does have some income she's able to contribute to that family, that is actually a big boost to the place she's staying. You know, if she's, you know, says, gosh, if I live in assisted living, it's going to cost me $3,000 a month. Jane, why don't I live at your house? And I'll give you $1,500 a month. Well, Jane's family suddenly is getting a pretty big boost in annual income. And if the sister Joan is like seeing that as like, wait a second, I'd like to get $1,500 a month, it can become a problem. So you definitely have to discuss that. People have to really be prepared to justify it and make sure that it's all above board and that everyone feels comfortable with it. Because that's where the biggest fighting ends up happening when they are willing to. But hands down, it's a much better option. It's a much better option for people.
We'll hold that thought. We'll be right back with more information, but now a word from our sponsors and advertisers who do make this radio show possible. You're listening to the Best of Times Radio Hour here on News Radio 710 Keel, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and A-Bears 10 and Country of Shreveport, your Dodge Chrysler Ram dealer.
The Best of Times Radio Hour will be right back on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel. Now back to the Best of Times Radio Hour on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Welcome back to our show, the Best of Times Radio Hour, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and A-Bears 10 and Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer. I'm Gary Kaligas, and I do thank you for listening to our radio show today. Joining me on my show as a special guest is Mr. Jeff Salter, who is the CEO of Caring Senior Service, and he is discussing how senior co-housing can enhance the emotional and physical well-being of older adults. So thank you, Jeff, for joining us today here on the Best of Times Radio Hour.
Yeah, good to continue the conversation.
So, he has 30 years of experience, and he's telling us today some interesting aspects of senior co-housing that can help improve the quality of life and wellness, as well as enhance emotional health and reduce loneliness, as well as increase a sense of purpose and family connection. So going back, this co-housing aspect can increase the sense of purpose and family connection that individual may not be having when they're living alone.
Yeah, absolutely. The benefits are so many. It's the combating loneliness, but it's just, you know, it gives as much as it takes, if you will. You know, there's a lot of things in life that we think about, and we think about what I'm going to have to put, and you don't always think what you get out of it. And this is a situation where it can really, you get a lot out of it.
So the other aspect, when they're there in that co-housing aspect, they can contribute their ideas and assistance and the younger children of their grandchildren to attend more events and participate and help in the chores. So it's going to really help the family together to have more time to do more constructive things as well, correct?
Yeah, you know, I often try to cite personal situations in this. I unfortunately didn't have a chance to spend this kind of time with either my grandparents or even my own parents. But I have been growing up and raising my own family. I have some other families that had situations where their parents actually moved to live close by them. And they moved twice while we were raising our kids. And two different times they said, well, if you're moving 5 miles away, even, they're like, well, we're going to move also because we want to be next door. And I saw that when that was happening, I was like, wow, that's really cool. And they had a really rich family experience because of that, you know, and it had all kinds of benefits that come with it as well. You know, you get some, maybe as long as the senior's in a situation, you get some babysitting when you've got younger family. But you're just going to get that passed on generational knowledge that's just wild. Different little rituals that families do and things that they have to get passed on in a way that they wouldn't have without that.
Well, another important thing is I'm recalling I'm of Greek Hellenic ethnicity. So, yes, a lot of my parents and relatives all moved closer together to have a common sense of not co-housing. They were next door, but it was almost they would have family meals together. It was like, you know, the whole family was getting together, even though there were three or four houses within the same neighborhood. And it, you know, happens in many Italians do that. Many other ethnicities do that as well. So I'm glad you brought that up. Yes. Many of us have seen that, even with my kids. I have two of my kids out of town, but we go to see them. They come to see us and stay with us. But we have one local that's nearby, and we probably participate more with them than we do, I hate to say this, with the other kids. But they're, you know, out of town several hundred and thousands of miles away. So that's the proximity factor. So explain our listeners in this concept, when we talked about if they're home alone, and what should they do first to initiate this activity or or co-housing aspect with relatives or family members? What should they do?
I think first and foremost is really if you're the child, let's say, really think about your own living arrangement and think about, you know, what options you have. You know, is it, it doesn't always work great if it's just a room in your house. It can, but if that room doesn't have a sense of the ability to kind of make it feel like its own apartment and a little bit independent, and that's where things kind of can be a little bit challenging. Or even think about, you know, with this tiny home movement, it's easy to create a small home and actually put it back where, instead of putting, say we're going to put someone living in a shed, but these tiny homes are shed size sometimes, you know, they're pretty small, but they're actually very, very useful, and they're designed to be lived in. And so just really evaluating your situation, do you have the space? Do you have the ability to cordon off that space so that person, if you were going to invite someone to live with you, could they feel like they've got their own apartment? You know, does it get close to that? And then it's a matter of really looking at the some of the cost savings involved, because that's a factor that I think sometimes all of this is driven by cost, because it's like no longer can the individual sustain the what it needs. If, you know, if everyone on the call right now listening to this broadcast, just thinks about all of the things you have to do to maintain your own independent house or even apartment.
True.
There's just a lot that goes into that. You know, the yard work that you have to do if you're in a house, you got to keep up with your insurance. You got to, if anything goes wrong, you got to replace it. You got to repair it. There's just a lot of costs, and there's a lot of maintenance, and there's just a lot of work to live in a house. It's really tough if you're on your own, and as you age, it becomes very costly to maintain your own living environment. So you look at it from a financial aspect that says, well, it really makes sense. Even if I had to add a little bit of money to addition onto a house or to modify the interior of a house, that could be money that's being saved over time by selling my existing home and then family members. So I really encourage people to think about what it would take and look at how the house is currently laid out, and can modifications be made that could accommodate this and actually make it a good experience. Because what you want to avoid is just having an extra room and saying, hey, mom, you can come live with me in my extra room. It will work. By no means, we all do it all the time when family visits, but it may not make a conducive long-term situation that you want to really end up with.
Good. You know, very good point about that, because you know, we want to make them have their own, some of it, their own space, and their sharing space with the family members. So, you know, that's critical. But you're definitely right about, I know of more and more seniors and boomers trying to downsize. They're in their 10 or 12,000 square foot home, and they're all alone in that house. And there's so many things that have to be done, finding worker bees and scheduling, just changing light bulbs. On this lady, she's so sweet, but she has difficulty in doing the minor things now. And so, I mean, hopefully her family members have told her to sell the house, and she said she doesn't want to sell the house. She doesn't want to. But, you know, 12,000 square feet for one person, that's a lot of square feet. And probably she only uses two rooms, the bedroom, the kitchen, and maybe the kitchen area where she sits and has her meals. I don't know if she entertains, I know this lady, she probably doesn't entertain. So it's sad and doing that as well. So you're right. Downsizing, and this is one option of downsizing. And instead of, you know, going to an independent assisted living apartment, this can be a plus for the family. So that's what you're emphasizing here, which, again, I have not heard too much promoted about this throughout the nation. And that's why I invited you on here, is when I got the whim that you're advocating this. I thought this is a great item. And I want to mention that your follow-up is providing respite services for the family in case the grandmother, the mother has problems, they can get hourly care, correct?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, our company is focused on providing that assistance when family can't give the assistance directly. And even in co-housing scenarios, the family member might get to a point to where they're not able to do everything on their own. And if the house is empty, let's during the day, you know, the kids are at school, the The daughter is working, and that senior is still there, though. So if they can't care for themselves, and that's what we traditionally have been always there for. So to us, co-housing doesn't impact our business negatively in any way, and we encourage it. We take care of people wherever they are and whatever their situation is.
And definitely right. When they're home alone, they don't have the caregiver that might be taking care of their particular scenario. You can definitely call upon people, professionals, to come out to do that for them. And that's the continuing care. And rather than having to be hospitalized or moved out, they can have it done in their own co-housing home as well. So I am fascinated about this. And do you see it increasing throughout the United States? In your locations?
We do see it happening more and more. Some of it's economics. It's a kind of a people, as unfortunately in our industry, as the wage and labor costs have gone up, it means that seniors are having to bear a higher cost of services, and they have to look for options. So some of it's driven by that. We're trying to encourage people to be driven more by just it's the right thing to do. We're seeing that actually more and more home builders are actually building homes in a way that allows for, first, they spec them out properly to have kind of a grandmother flat built in, or they're building them in such a way that making modifications in the future is not difficult. So it's the house is designed in a way that allows you to say, okay, we can add this in later on when the time is right. You know, because if I'm a young adult buying my first house, it's something that I can be thinking about, like, okay, I'm, you know, when you're starting a family, you're not thinking about, well, how am I going to care for my mom? I'm thinking about, how am I going to care for my kids? But we're seeing that home builders are actually being thoughtful in the fact that, well, maybe this house that we're building for this family in the future is going to be used in a different way than what it's intended right now. You know, traditionally, we expect someone to move out and upgrade. That house then goes to the next first-time home buyer. But instead of that, it's thinking of a house like, what if I build this house? It's preset to have a granny flat. So in 25 years, it can be easily used for this co-housing situation. And then lots of remodelers are now looking at this and home modification companies, and they're specifically creating packages in which they can come in and make modifications to an existing home that allows for this cohabitation to occur, this co-housing.
But Jeff, you mentioned earlier there are certain companies that have them like standalone. I mean, where did I read that? Yeah, I think even Amazon has one that you can order a prefab house.
Oh, it's amazing. Yeah, these are amazing. These small little, they're sometimes, you know, 8x12s and 8x14s, and you'd be surprised the way they design these little small spaces. And it's actually fine, especially when it's in this situation, because the senior or the person can leave that to come into the other part of the house when they want more space, maybe. But it's perfect for them when they're wanting to have their own alone time. Sometimes they've got their own bathroom. They've got their own little cooking area even, and definitely area for relaxing and sleeping.
Wow. That's pretty impressive. And plus the economy of the – I'm sure they have designed that to make it efficient as well. I mean, it's probably not as costly materials before, but the technology now is amazing what they can do and reduce the cost. So again, you know, and the idea of more and more seniors are trying to downsize. I mean, I've seen that throughout Northwest Louisiana where we're located, but also when I travel, I hear more and more people trying to, you know, they don't need that 12,000 square foot house anymore. I mean, they finally figured out, you know, they're paying taxes on that particular resident, significant taxes, and why? And they're only using part of it, so they, you know, hopefully,
yeah,
find a buyer space, because that, yeah. People don't even think about that, the taxes and the upkeep. I mean, that can be significant.
In some ways, we're actually, you know, it's the way our economy works, right? We need seniors actually to leave their homes so the next person can buy it. It actually helps solve the housing crisis in an interesting way.
Yes, that is true. That is true. Shifting, you know, that's light that people move along. But I'm seeing more and more seniors that are trying to think about more of them thinking about assisted living and independent living, but there are fewer and fewer others, and the price is going up due to liability and due to, you know, a number of the factors. I mean, they're like a cruise ship on land. That's what I call them. Some people can definitely afford them, but others can't, and their prices are not decreasing; they're mainly increasing due to a lot of different factors. But they're wonderful, and I know a lot of people are involved in them. But throughout the United States, it is a growing pattern. But this is an interesting option that you can have, especially if your family are in this area. Have you also considering co-housing of, which in some states they allow it, is group housing for seniors, right? Have you heard of that one?
Yeah, yeah. The private care homes is what they're often called, or personal care homes.
Yeah, and where a group of seniors.
Popular for many years.
Yeah, there are many in Texas. Louisiana doesn't have as many of them, but there are definitely, I see a lot of them in other states. But that seems like to be a growing pattern now that they have a larger home that is shared by four or more seniors, and occasionally they hire a housekeeper and hire a cook and et cetera to do that. It's very, very similar, but you know, they don't have that family camaraderie of being with around family members, but they're around new people now, and so that's a little bit of co-housing, I would say, but not multi-generational housing. Correct, Jeff?
Yeah, absolutely. Co-housing has been, I think it's existed a lot longer than the people. And I mean, the multi-generational has existed. It's just not been thought of in kind of the modern, how do we deal with the expanding senior population and as a solution to a potential problem in the way it is. But the co-housing of seniors, multiple people under one roof, has been pretty common. As you say, certain states allow for it. Some states actually don't allow for it, which I think needs to change because it's a great option. We're seeing more and more, actually, interesting enough, I've seen it in a number of ways, is co-housing where it's maybe someone that is a single parent. They were a single parent. They're now an empty nester on their own. They've got a house with multiple rooms. They then can say, well, gosh, I can almost rent out my room. Instead of renting it out to another adult, working adult, why don't I consider renting out to two or three seniors, inviting seniors into my home and having them live here. We're seeing more and more of that happen, which is, I think, a very interesting concept as well. It's one person that's a able-bodied, middle-aged person, if you will, in the 35 to 55 range, and they're saying, hey, you can come live at my house, and inviting multiple seniors to live with them.
I've heard of that, and it is increasing throughout the United States, even in my neck of the woods. We'll hold that thought. We'll be right back with more information, but now a word from our sponsors and advertisers who do make this radio show possible. You're listening to the Best of Times Radio Hour here on News Radio 710 Keel, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and A-Bears, Tenant Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer.
The Best of Times Radio Hour will be right back on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel. And now back to the Best of Times Radio Hour on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Welcome back to our show, the Best of Times Radio Hour, proudly presented by AARP Louisiana and A-Bears Tenant Country of Shreveport, your Dodge, Chrysler, Ram, and Jeep dealer. I'm Gary Kalikas, and I do thank you for taking time to listen to our show today. Joining me on my show as a special guest is Mr. Jeff Salter, who is the CEO of Caring Senior Service. And he's discussing how senior co-housing can enhance the emotional and physical well-being of older adults. So again, thank you, Jeff, for being on our show today. It's been great information that you provided to me and my many, many thousands of radio listeners out there.
Thank you.
So we have got just a few minutes left in this particular program. Again, I thank you. The concept of senior co-housing and a senior should consider, when should they consider this option?
You know, it's something that people should think about. Almost to me, it's at retirement age. When I'm retiring and I'm at that point, I should actually start thinking about it now. I probably want to have some time on my on my own, if you will. You know, I'm enjoying my life. I'm pretty able-bodied, but as because what happens is too often people don't talk about these decisions, don't discuss them until maybe they've advanced in age so far to where now they're beyond being able to be co-housed and they actually may be placed somewhere potentially. So I suggest people talk about it very early on and have an actual planned experience.
Well, and generally, I think you talked about it before, in case of a spouse passes away, that's generally sometime it happens, right? What's the other spouse going to do? Correct?
Yeah, and that's a natural time for the conversation to occur, obviously. But it's something I encourage people, even when they're close spouse, they're living, no one knows when they're going to go. But it's something they should actively be talking about, even though they may be a little bit uncomfortable. At least you have a little bit more of a plan. So, because when someone passes, no one's prepared for it, and everything's thrown in a turmoil, and we end up making decisions sometimes that we don't think out as much as we expected to. So if you talk about it a little bit beforehand, it doesn't make it such a shock when the idea comes to mind.
And you know, that's the thing, the shock. And because if it happens abruptly without any planning, everybody's going to scramble, correct? And there's going to be depression.
Yeah.
And there's going to be some emotional situations that can be negative, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, that teenage daughter that's at the house and suddenly grandma, who she's only seen for Christmas and Thanksgiving, is suddenly living with her. No time to prepare a plan for it. She's going to be pretty upset about the whole situation. And it's not going to be a great experience, potentially. So having a predestined kind of a discussion, then we all kind of could talk about, like, someday grandma will live here. Someday mom will live with me. And then it becomes a lot easier when it happens.
So the other aspect, let's say the spouse has been living alone for many years and the kids are seeing that individual is now more depressed, isolated, is having more health care issues, et cetera. And that might be an opportune time. Maybe they didn't discuss it before, but that, you know, mom or dad, come live with us, and we'll make accommodations. We'll build a little aspect. Isn't that true?
Yeah. For your listeners, any time that, you know, there's a life-changing event, maybe it's a diagnosis, it could be something simple, but use that situation to at least have a conversation. You may not, co-housing is not going to be right for everybody, but at least have the discussion. Is it on the table or is it not on the table? At least having it, but use those moments when things are happening to bring up the conversation, because it's not going to be a conversation that's one time done and decision made. It's usually, and it's often met, just like our own services, when we provide care to seniors, nobody wants to get care. Nobody wants that to happen. No one, oftentimes people aren't going to, their initial thought, you know, we all have this expectation, we're going to buy a house, we're going to live in our house until we die. And the idea of me moving from my house is not going to be met with excitement necessarily. But if I have that discussion early on, I maybe even have that discussion often, it becomes a much easier decision that I can make. And it can also feel like it's my decision versus it being forced upon me.
Okay. Very, very good points there. So what are some negative things? I think my listeners are trying to think of some worst case scenarios. Why shouldn't I do this? What is a reason why I shouldn't consider co-housing?
Again, I'll use an example, my own personal example here. You know, my mom and I, she passed away a couple of years ago. Great woman. She's super strong-willed person. She raised a super strong-willed son. And her and I under the same roof could never happen, right? We just didn't get along enough, and it wouldn't have worked. So in our situation, our personalities just didn't work in that way. So you got to use your family history as a guide here. You're not going to be able to change it just because someone's aged and they're in a different season of life. Probably isn't going to change if there was any challenges during childhood. So be honest about this. Know where things can change and where they can't. You know, when you're putting a child and a parent together, back together after many, many years, it sometimes just doesn't work. If their needs are so much, if they've got a lot of care needs, you know, that becomes, then you're dealing with a situation that might feel more like a burden than an actual solution. And you really want to make sure that that's not what you're getting yourself into. Again, just be honest about what the realities of the things are. If your house is too small, you know, it doesn't make sense. You don't want to cram more people into one roof. That's just going to make everybody feel like they're on top of each other. And it's going to be a super negative experience.
And the aspect about needing the additional care, they may be having some chronic illnesses or other factors that may be, make it difficult for them to be co-housing, right?
Absolutely, yeah. There's the home itself. We have to think: can it be modified? Does the senior need any additional? You know, are they using a walker? Is it safe for them to be there? Is it able to be modified properly so that they can have that environment? And know that this is a potential last move for that senior. So not only am I prepared for them when they're able to be involved in my day-to-day household activities, but what will it look like when they're not as able to be involved? Can we still get along with each other, and can it work in that situation as well?
Well, that's some good factors. And the other thing is making accommodation. I mean, I mentioned that if their agility and they're not as ambulatory as they were prior.
Right.
Making different things in the bathroom, as well as possibly having to make if they have a lot of steps coming into the home, you have to figure out a different matter about getting into the home and getting out of the home, et cetera. So there's a lot of considerations there as well. So again, thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Little things little things like air conditioning. You know, seniors tend to be cold, and if you like your house cold, that's going to be an arguing point. So it's just really think through all the stuff.
That's true. Well, thank you today. It was quite educational for me and many my thousand listeners out there. I'm gonna give you a plug. You can visit their website. You have a very interesting website about caringseniorservice.com. It's C-A-R-I-N-G, seniorservice.com is the name of his nationwide home care company. You provide hourly care, correct?
Yes, sir.
And these are via franchises throughout locations throughout the United States. Again, I compliment you on that. Been there, done that before, and I'm sure it's a challenging industry. But again, it's needed in the area, and I'm sure it's growing by leaps and bounds. More and more people need extra help at home, and definitely that's a way to do it. Get professional caregivers rather than hire them privately. Sometimes you have difficulties when you hire them privately without any kind of background checks. Isn't that true?
Absolutely. It's a challenge for families anyway. Aging is a challenge no matter how you look at it. And we try to help them in so many ways, take off some of that burden, some of that challenges, and professional caregivers often can fill that gap.
That is true. Well, thank you for joining us today. Best wishes, continued success to you and your companies as well. Again, thank you for taking time to be on our show today.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
Everyone, please tell your friends to listen to our next show next Saturday for information that can benefit them or their loved ones. Don't forget to pick up your personal copy of The Best of Times at one of our 270 distribution locations. May God bless you and your family. God bless America. Have a great day and a great weekend. Thank you again for listening to our show. I'm Gary Kaligas, wishing you and yours the best of times both today and every day. Have a great day.